Winston Churchill was one of the greatest national leaders of the 20th century, having bravely led Britain through the horrors of World War II. If you had asked him what the self-proclaimed key to his success was, do you know what his answer would be? A nap. Every day, Winston Churchill took a nap. It was about a 2-hour nap, and he used that as a time where he would recharge. And he firmly believed that this regular nap in the afternoon allowed him to put 2 days' worth of work into a single day. He was adamant about getting a nap every day. It was the time that he protected most vehemently as he was Prime Minister of Britain. He would start his day normally and eating breakfast, and he would answer letters, dictate to his secretaries, often in bed. He would go to work. He would then, later in the day, have lunch. And later in the day, after lunch and a little bit more work, he would take about a 2-hour nap. At about 6:30, he would wake up, revive himself, have dinner, and then get back to work. Being a night owl, he worked until the wee hours of the morning. This was how he regularly functioned and operated in his day. Naps turned out to be so important to him that not only did he protect them so much as some of his most precious time, but he actually had a bed put into the House of Parliament so he could take a nap if he was stationed there. To Churchill, the importance of taking a nap in the middle of the day was paramount to him. He needed that. It allowed him to step away from the pressures that he was under during that time of great struggle for his country. And this way of spending his time helped him to increase the effectiveness and the volume of his work. We'll read some poetic advice from King Solomon that reinforces this principle of taking a purposeful break from our activities and busy lives. I'll have you turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and I'll read verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10, Solomon writes this: "If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success." The symbol of sharpening an axe can be applied broadly in the way that we live our lives. In a busy day, sharpening an axe can take the form of a nap, as it did for Winston Churchill. In a flurry of daily activities of our busy lives, where we have things packed one right after the other, sharpening the axe can take the form of deliberately taking a little bit of time out of the day to just do nothing more than think. Thinking seems to be one of those things that if you look at somebody just thinking, you wonder what they're doing. But it's very important that we take some time to do that. We can think about what we have accomplished and then think about what needs our focus after we are done thinking. What do we want to do next? What I want to focus on during this sermonette today is what it means in the life of a Christian. To us as Christians, sharpening an axe can take the form of meditation and prayer, Bible study, and learning. Fasting. Those are the types of ways that we can take a step back and renew our minds and learn and grow and become more effective in the way that we live our lives. Sharpening the axe is most effective when it involves some sort of self-examination, reflection on how we are doing and how we can do better. Now, what we have read here in this little tiny scripture in Ecclesiastes is that our work will become more effective if we take a break now and then to do a little bit of maintenance. This is the reason why, in fact, we have the Sabbath. Every single week, we are commanded to take a day, a full day out of the week, so that we can learn and grow spiritually, draw close to God, come together as brethren in one spirit. The Sabbath, as we read in the Bible, was made for man, for our purpose, so that we can take time away from the pressure of our lives and dedicate that to spiritual growth. And living in this way, where we take time away from our busy lives and our routines to reflect and grow, that is defined by Solomon as an example of wisdom. And we want to be wise and successful, so we can follow this instruction. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 11 and read verses 31 and 32. This is one that will be most likely coming across in future messages as we emerge on the spring holy days and the Passover season. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Here we read about that self-examination, that precious time where we are instructed to step away from our routines, our daily activities, and reflect on how we are doing, to judge ourselves. We need to take time to take an honest inventory of ourselves, our Christian lives, especially as we get closer to the Passover, where we are trying to understand what sin we have remaining. We need to be asking ourselves how we are doing with our commitment as Christians. We need to ask where sin lurks in our lives, in the dark corners. We need to ask ourselves if we are growing in our ability to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And most importantly, once we have found those things that we would like to change, we need to ask ourselves what we can do differently in order to do better. It's not enough to judge ourselves if we don't do anything to change. Just seeing that the axe is dull is not enough if we don't take the time to actually sharpen it as well. And that takes some effort. We need to be willing to change and do that. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, and we'll read verses 20 through 24. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. A renewal needs to take place in our minds. We have to prioritize the truth of God over all of the worldly lusts and desires that might compete for our attention. That renewal is what we're talking about when we sharpen our axe. We need to look at ourselves, acknowledge our weaknesses, and put the old ways behind us and change. Controlling the way that we think so that we don't allow the world to get a hold of us and influence us and draw us away from the obedience of God is how we will sharpen our axe. Asking ourselves the question of what is actually motivating our behavior can help us to improve. That's how we test to see if our axe is dull. Let's go to Luke 6 and read verses 46 through 49. Luke 6, verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Wisdom is defined as being obedient to God. They are equated one with the other, not in this scripture, but elsewhere. And turning our lives to obedience, to doing the things which we are instructed by Christ, is the way that we become stronger in defending ourselves against those influences and those pressures of the world around us that draw us and threaten to draw us away from God. The wise does the will of God. The wise follows the righteous example of Christ and, as a result, becomes protected against the difficulties that we inevitably will be faced with. That's what it means to sharpen the axe, to work more effectively against the sin that we are tempted by. This is how we take action, by hearing Christ's teachings and living by them. Let's go to Mark 4 and verses 15 through 20, and we'll read the corollary of that. If we don't build upon the rock by doing the teachings of Christ, we put ourselves at risk. Mark 4 and verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they hear, Satan comes, immediately takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. If we don't take the time to sharpen the axe, our work will become unfruitful, plain and simple. If we don't take the time to reflect on our lives, to judge ourselves, think about how we can improve based on what we've learned in the Bible, and if we make decisions about what to do and begin doing those things, we can become more efficient. But when we don't, we leave ourselves exposed to the influence of the world. If we don't decide to change, we won't even realize the dangerous position that we're in. We will be snagged away, or we leave ourselves vulnerable to that. The influence of Satan and the ways of this world will have greater power to pull us away if we don't become more efficient and effective at our work in producing the fruit of the Spirit. We're not alone in this. Strengthening, let's turn to Isaiah 40 and read verses 28 through 31. It's a great challenge to do this, to judge ourselves, to learn the commandments and to do them. We are instructed to do so, but we do have help. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The most encouraging thing to hear in this sermonette is this, that God is on our side. He wants to strengthen us. He wants us to overcome sin. He is on our side to transform ourselves. If we are willing to commit ourselves to the time to meditate, to pray, to fast, to learn and grow and change our lives, God too is faithful to strengthen us, to renew our strength. We become renewed through Him. If we want to become more effective in our lives as converted Christians, we need to take the time and effort to sharpen our axe. We need to take the time to examine ourselves and look to God for the renewed strength to overcome.